In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome you to another episode of our program In Search of Piety. Today, we will continue from where we left off. In our last episode, we mentioned some important points or a very famous account involving the cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an. We mentioned his conversation in the court of the Abyssinian king and how his wise approach and his manner of addressing the king of Abyssinia enabled the Muslims to settle within Abyssinia without any problems, despite the efforts of some of the people, the Quraysh, who had arrived there, and they had requested Najashi to expel the Muslims from their land. Following on from that, some more points regarding different companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. But we have a routine, as you're well aware, a point or a narration which expresses the excellence of sending a prayer of blessings in favor of the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the deed that we refer to in the subcontinent as Durood Sharif, or in Arabic, Salat ala Nabi. A narration mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam expressed, "The one who sends a prayer of blessings upon him 100 times on the night between Thursday and Friday and on Friday itself." So the night between Thursday and Friday, I say it like this because it's understood in English that way. Otherwise, the night in Islam comes before the day. So Friday night is actually the night that comes before Friday in terms of the Islamic understanding. But just to make it clear to our viewers, the night between Thursday and Friday, and Friday itself, reciting Salat ala Nabi, expressing a prayer of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam 100 times on the night between Thursday and Friday, and Friday itself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam revealed that such a person will have 100 of his needs fulfilled. 30 of those needs will be of this world, and 70 of those needs will be related to the hereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an was known for his wisdom, was known for his knowledge, he was known for his bravery. Towards the end of our last episode, a point was mentioned regarding his generosity. In fact, he was known as Abul Masakin, due to the fact that he would go out of his way to provide for, to care for the poor, the destitute. So a trait of piety being this selflessness that was found within the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Sayyiduna Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhum was also known for his bravery. In fact, he became a martyr during the expedition of Mu'tah, and the narrations describe the state of his body after his martyrdom. One particular narration reported by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions that after the battle, when the companions looked for the body of Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib, they found that there were more than 70 wounds of arrows and spears on his blessed body. And another narration mentions that there were more than 90 wounds. And this was only counting that which was the front of his body. So it wasn't including any wounds that were inflicted on his back, just the front of his body or the front face, more than 90 wounds according to another narration. Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an was described in that battle as being one who was at the forefront, who was leading the Muslims, and with great bravery and great valor, he proceeded towards the enemy. And in this way, with this bravery, he fought until he was martyred. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an, his example, his wisdom, his generosity, his bravery, these traits are reminders of how we can search for piety, how we can adopt characteristics with this hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the path of piety. This is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He chooses His people. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His deen may choose the best people. If He wants, He may choose those who are considered to be the worst of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do so. In fact, some narrations even mention this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times will assist the matters of His of faith, the matters of religion, through the worst of people. So the worst of people, despite their transgressions and their oppressions, sometimes they become a means for something good happening. And this is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we see the immediate result or consequences of actions. And sometimes months later or years later, we try to, or we partially understand the possible wisdom of things happening in a certain way. In short, as far as the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, this is not something that we should be overly worried about. We should be worried about our deeds and our actions, and hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a deed is accepted in His court and it becomes a means for our salvation. Another companion that I would like to mention, or the next companion that I would like to mention, cited by Sayyiduna Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Asfahani, is Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Rawaha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an, known for his reflection and contemplation in terms of the Quran, also known for his valor and bravery. And he also became a martyr during the expedition of Mu'tah. Before we mention anything particular or specific about his life, a point of tasawwuf that Hafiz Abu Nu'aym quotes, which is a recurring theme in his Hilyatul Awliya. From time to time, he'll mention the point of tasawwuf. So one point that he mentions here is that to remain patient when facing calamities and difficulties while completing or while reaching the destinations of love and contentment, or love and acceptance, this is the tasawwuf. So two elements here: the journey towards acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a journey that is ongoing. This journey towards divine love and divine acceptance, this continues. And while one is embarked on this journey, the difficulties and problems that one faces, these difficulties are faced with patience, with tolerance, with forbearance. So someone who lacks patience, loses his temper over every little thing, does not understand the essence of tasawwuf. Someone who claims to follow the way of the pious predecessors and walk upon the path of piety will be someone who is patient, who has self-control, and does not stop on his journey of love, divine love and contentment from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is reported by Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an, that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha, before he left for the expedition, he was seen to be crying. And the companions, the people around him, they were concerned about why he was crying. Realizing this concern, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an, who expressed, he said, "I'm not crying due to this thought of being separated from this world, of missing this world, or being separated from this world in any way, meaning going to a place where I may be martyred. This is not the reason why I am crying, or this has not made me cry. What has made me cry is something the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said." And he actually referred to a verse of the Quran which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had recited in his presence, from Surah Maryam. "Wa in minkum illa wariduha kana ala rabbika hatman maqdiya." The verse refers to the Sirat, the bridge that is built above the fire of hell, which every single person will have to cross in the hereafter. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was so concerned by this thought of crossing this bridge in the hereafter. He himself expressed that, "I am afraid, I am concerned that I may not attain salvation, I may not succeed in crossing that bridge." This is a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam radiyallahu anhu. And his concern for a matter of the hereafter is so great that he is crying due to the fact that he had fear that when that time comes and I am asked to cross that bridge. Remember, that bridge, according to the prophetic traditions, is as thin as a hair and sharper than a sword. So the crossing of this bridge will not be a crossing that we can imagine in terms of logically, or we kind of visualize it. This is through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will cross with the speed of lightning, some people will run across, others will stumble across and drag themselves across this bridge. Many will fall, and they will fall into the fire of hell. So we must be concerned about this for ourselves. We must have some element of fear within our hearts, because these matters of the hereafter cannot be taken lightly. They were certainly not taken lightly by the likes of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, who is leaving for an expedition where martyrdom is very likely. And you would think that martyrdom, or the possibility of martyrdom, would give him some contentment, that if his life is ultimately sacrificed for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the matters of the hereafter will not concern him as much. But despite this possibility, and despite the fact that he is leaving to protect the borders of Islam, to protect the message of Islam, to uphold Islam, despite these matters, he is still concerned about the hereafter. Let us think about our states. Every single day, when we wake up in the morning, what is the first concern that comes to mind? What is our first worry? And if the first worry is the next meal that we have, then I'm afraid we must really reconsider our priorities, because the first concern, surely, when we wake up, should be prayer. The remembrance of Allah, or the obligation upon us to pray. And if this concern is a genuine concern, without the alarm clock, your eye will open. In fact, you might wake up once or twice before your alarm goes off. And that is a concern for the obligation of the prayer. We're concerned that we're not late for our prayer. In the same way, when we're awake, we pray in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any element of reflection? When we raise our hands in supplication after the Fajr prayer, what are we asking for? What are we praying for in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we ever pray for the Muslim Ummah, or is it a regular part of our routine? Is it a part of our routine to pray for the Muslim brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world? Or is it always a case of, "Ya Allah, I want this. Ya Allah, grant me this. Ya Allah, grant my family this." Let us reflect upon that also. Have we ever prayed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success in the matters of the hereafter, on the Day of Judgment, that our book of deeds is given in our right hands, that our accountability is easy for us, that on the scale, when our deeds are weighed, our good deeds are heavier than our bad deeds, that we cross the bridge, the Sirat, with success, without any difficulty, and we attain salvation? Let us reconsider what we supplicate for in our supplications. And if we are people who want to increase our level of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and piety, then we must pray for matters of the hereafter. Another companion mentioned by Hafiz Abu Nu'aym is Sayyidina Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala, and he is described as someone who, although he could not take part in the Battle of Badr, he felt his absence in that expedition, and he expressed his desire to be part of the expedition of Uhud to make up for the absence at Badr. And before we mention anything in particular about what happened to him at Uhud, and his manner of entering that expedition. Another point of the tasawwuf cited by Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, he mentions that waiting for the breezes of paradise and the blessings of paradise, this is the essence of the tasawwuf. And if we think about one possible meaning of this, it can simply be the fact that people who walk upon a path of self-purification, they think about paradise. They're not inclined to this world too much. They look at this world for what it is, but they think about the blessings of paradise. And thinking about those everlasting blessings enables them to maintain that level of devotion in worship, in serving the religion, in standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting during the day, because they're looking at, they're waiting for paradise and its everlasting blessings. They think about the beautiful breeze of paradise. They think about all those things in paradise that no eye has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard of, and no heart has ever been affected by. So these matters, when they think about the everlasting blessings and favors of paradise, it enables them to keep their minds in perspective and to maintain a mindset of devotion and commitment to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, we know this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a sound tradition that heaven is veiled by difficulty and the fire, hell, is veiled by desire. So you have to go through, or you have to face those difficulties. That veil of difficulty must be faced, or you must pass through this obstacle to get to paradise. And the same way, hell itself is veiled or covered by desires. So when people become victims of their desires, they give in to their desires, without realizing, they don't see or they forget that behind these desires is the fire of hell. So we have to stop ourselves from giving in to our desires that are to do with this world only, and will only drive us towards or push us towards sin or transgression. Fulfilling desire, generally speaking, is not something that is sinful by default or sinful in every situation. We're talking about people who give in to desires of the nafs that are evil and that push one towards evil. Sometimes you have to close the door before you enter an area of evil, so that you're prevented from even going to that area. We have to take those precautions so that we don't fall into, or we don't go to a place that is haram, or that we don't fall into an action that is a transgression. So taking the precautions is by ensuring that we're nowhere near anything sinful or doubtful, and with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be saved from sin and transgression. Sayyidina Anas bin Nadar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did join the expedition of Uhud, and he was blessed with martyrdom. In fact, it is mentioned about him that as he was advancing towards the enemy, he expressed saying, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I sense the fragrance of paradise." And with these words, he advanced deep into the enemy ranks, and he fought until he was martyred. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Another companion mentioned by Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, and the name of this companion is related to our title, The Possessor of Two Cloths. Yes, this is Sayyidina Abdullah Dhul Bijadain radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was referred to as Dhul Bijadain because he possessed two cloths. In fact, one tradition mentions how it was one cloth that he tore into two pieces, one that he used as an upper garment, and the other one that he used as his lower garment. He was a companion of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. He was known for his piety and known for his concern of the hereafter. In fact, his departure from this world was such a departure that it was remembered for the response of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to his departure. So when he passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam lowered him into his grave himself. The merciful messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam not only lowered Sayyidina Abdullah Dhul Bijadain radiyallahu an into his grave after his death, he also cried for him and supplicated for him. And different narrations mention the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. According to one tradition, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "May Allah have mercy on you. You were one who would often repent, and you were one who would recite the Quran." So Sayyidina Abdullah Dhul-Bijadain radiyallahu ta'ala an is remembered, or was remembered, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam as one who would often express repentance. He would often turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was also one that was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as someone who would recite the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam cried during his burial, as observed and reported by the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And according to one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Oh Allah, I am pleased with him, so you be pleased with him." And when this was said, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, he said, "This happened at night, and by Allah, it was my desire that if only I was in his place, despite embracing Islam 15 years before him." So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was so overwhelmed by the supplications and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam for Sayyidina Abdullah Dhul-Bijadain, the manner of his burial, the response and the tears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that he wanted to be in his place. And this good envy, when you see good or a blessing granted to a Muslim brother, to desire that for oneself is absolutely permissible. In fact, it's a good thing. We should be people who desire the good that we see in others without wanting their good to be taken away from them. Because if this is the case, that we want the good to be taken from other people and then given to us, then this is jealousy, which is blameworthy, which is sinful. So we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we develop an aspiration, a good envy, when we see people who are more devoted to their service of the deen. We should want to be like that as well, without asking or without wanting their service or their blessing to be taken away from them. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Ahmad bin Abdullah Asfahani rahimahullahu ta'ala then mentions that there were many different companions known for their asceticism that were not mentioned. He only cited a few companions among the many other examples that could have been cited in this respect. And he names some. He says that the likes of Sayyidina Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu an, who was martyred with his companions at the location of Raji', he also mentioned Sayyidina Munthir bin Amr bin Amr radiallahu an, and Sayyidina Haram bin Milhan radiallahu ta'ala an, who were martyred at Bi'r Ma'una. And in expressing this, he is saying that these examples are only some examples, but what we find from all the examples that we have come across in this program so far, the recurring themes are very similar, the traits are very similar, the character elements are very similar in each of these beautiful companions that were mentioned, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And as a conclusion to his discussion, a point that I picked to share with you is that he expresses that whosoever follows the way of these people, anyone who follows their way, or anyone who adopts their way or adopts their method, shall attain salvation. This is the conclusion of Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Asfahani rahimahullahu ta'ala. So the way that was mentioned by him in light of the lives of the different companions so far, he says following any of them is a means of salvation, and one will become successful in the hereafter. As Muslims, we have role models, we have examples in the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Every flower has its own fragrance, it has its own beauty, and they differed in character, some of them. Some of them excelled more in certain specific characteristics, but from their lives, from their words, from their preferences during their lifetimes, we learn so much. And regarding the companions mentioned in this program, we are reminded of valor and selflessness and the willingness to recite the Quran and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to raise our hands in supplication and seek forgiveness for Him. For tawbah is a means of purification. When we raise our hands and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, we will feel a light feeling within our heart. We will feel as if a burden has been removed. Why should we deny, or why should we hesitate without even trying this method of purifying our hearts? We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we attain inspiration from the accounts of these pious predecessors. May Allah enable us to be sincere in our efforts to serve Islam and to attain piety. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.